to be in chapter what?
11.
11. 11 speaks of what?
Confusion.
Well, we're not going to be in confusion anymore after today. Cipher it out a little bit, okay? And I know most people look at this thing and really read some bad shaking coming down. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not what they
just
think
like
it is.
It's like watching the news, huh?
Yep. Well, it generally is. And when the church reads this and explains it to you from the carnal mind, it is bad news.
Yeah.
People's going to get burned and tormented and tortured and thrown in hell, you know, but that's not what this is all about.
They're looking without.
Everything's outside. External.
Yeah.
This book, the entire book, is internal. The whole Bible is internal. It's external signs and symbols to tell you internal things. So I'll read it first and we'll come back and look at it. And John says, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 120 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up into the heavens in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory unto the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to you thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And that's where everybody thought everybody went to hell. But it wasn't right. It's more foolishness. The church world is stirred up. Okay. Get back into this first verse. And this is John speaking, the Revelator. Okay? He said, it was given to me a reed likened to a rod. It's a measuring stick. Okay? Similar to a measuring stick. And the angel or the messenger, the word angel was religious in its content anyway, so need to just say it what it is. The messenger stood saying, rise and measure the temple. Well, this word temple is naos, which consists of the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, both places. And the altar and them that worship therein. Okay? And when it says the altar, what does that represent?
A place of sacrifice.
Absolutely, it's a place of sacrifice. Where is this place of sacrifice?
In me.
It's in your mind. It's got to be, it's internal, it's in your mind. At the altar, it's a place of sacrifice in the mind. And it says, and them that worship therein. Where do we worship God? In spirit and truth. You can't worship God in flesh. Okay?
Because then you create a different
then
God.
You create a God. Everyone creates their own God. That's why there's over 25,000 denominations today. So we got to do it in spirit and truth, which is internal. And you know what? If I truly worship God inside of me, in my mind, my understanding, what will you do in your physical body?
You'll do the same. You'll follow.
You'll follow that same pattern. See, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I truly understand I'm a child of God and I begin to live that way, then guess what? Everything that's inside of me will be produced outside. Remember last time we met, I said about grace. Grace is the divine influence in the heart of man and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. Yeah. So whatever's inside of you should be seen on the outside of you, the way you react. So same thing as saying, like, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. Same thing.
The wind chimes, they sound almost like a church.
Oh.
No, but you know when they play.
I know. Yeah, they're pretty sound.
They're gorgeous.
I think they sound more like a calming zen. The church tried to copy that.
Some meditative, like.
Yeah.
And it says, who worship therein. Okay? The word therein is really two words, and it should say in it. Okay? It being that temple which is the mind of Christ. Okay? So when we worship in spirit and truth. We worship in the mind of the Spirit. Okay? It's internal, but it'll show up outside. Verse 2 goes on to say, but the court which is without or external, right? Mm-hmm. It's outside. That's the flesh. The temple, outside the temple, leave it out or cast it off. Because of what reason? It's flesh. Fleshly thinking. Not talking about your physical body. He's talking about your thinking process. If it's not within the temple naos, then that thinking process is not right.
Yeah.
And a double-minded man is what?
He's unstable in all his ways.
All of them. See? So we got to let it go. And measure, okay? Now, what is the measuring about?
Is it like a judgment or decision making?
Okay, but it's a fixed, it's something that's fixed. It's a fixed standard. What is the only fixed standard we have?
Christ.
And Him crucified on the cross. That's the standard we have. And we have to measure ourselves to that, to nothing else. I got chastised once by my brother, and he said, who do you think you are, Matt, comparing yourself to Christ? And I said, it was funny to me. He didn't get real funny. He didn't think it was funny. I said, am I supposed to compare myself to you as an individual, or should I compare myself to the Christ? That was a long time ago, but that's neither here nor there. He just didn't catch it like most of the others don't catch it.
Well, those things all add together and compound and just simplify. That way you can go on.
Well, they don't believe that they're part of God.
Yeah. They think someday it's all external to them. Yeah. He's up there somewhere and we're down here.
They sit at a different viewpoint. They don't sit at all. Yeah.
See, he said, don't measure it, or so don't judge it to the standard of Christ, because it can't be. You know, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. See? Don't measure the outer court. Same thing. Because it's given to the Gentiles. And the holy city, what's the holy city? In the Revelation it says, I think it's 20 or 21, says, we've seen a holy city coming down out of heaven, the spirit realm, as a bride adorned for her husband. It's the bride of Christ. It's the true overcomers, the first fruits of the church.
So just the holy city is just the first fruit?
Sure. Sure it is.
First fruit bride.
Same thing, just different ways of saying it.
Okay.
And they shall tread this underfoot, okay, by their lifestyle, 42 months. See, tread, speaking about walking, okay, treading underfoot, same thing. It's talking about their lifestyle. And by their lifestyle, their religious traditions, they tread it under for 42 months. What is 42 months?
3.5 years.
3.5 years represents what?
The ministry of Christ.
The ministry of Christ. And while Christ is working on you, it's not a literal 3.5 years. It's not a literal, you know,
yeah,
it's
no.
1,000 some days, you know, there's three, it's not 3.5 days. It speaks as another place in here, right down below here in verse 9. Those are not literal things. They're symbolic things. It's a time of ministry. So however he wants to say it and make it work in this way to the carnal mind, still spiritually it's saying the same thing. As long as he's ministering on you, this is going to happen. Until you come to a place, it's like this. If I have to take a test to learn how to drive a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if I go out and take the test and I fail the test, what do I have to do?
Take it again.
Everybody loves to do that. But people think they don't have to get it right. They just think, I said I'm sorry, that's good enough.
Yeah. Okay?
But we got to get it right. And it's in our actions. It's that thing inside of us that's produced by God and then proceeds to our external for people to see the way we live our life. And these people just do not understand. You got to get it till you get it right. You got to keep recycling till you get it right. When you get it right, then you can move on to something else.
It has to be getting it right inside. That
right.
Depends on steps to come.
Yeah, the change in the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
See, but it has to be done completely before you can move on.
Yeah.
We've got to come to a place where we're not just say, well, okay, today is Sunday and I'm going to be real good today because it's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, and then tomorrow I'm going right back, straight back to the world. You know,
yeah,
that doesn't work. We've got to get it right, and when we get it right, you'll never go back.
You know what gets me is once it sit in a building and never enter a church, quote, church building.
Live better.
And they sit in, no.
Okay, go ahead.
They go in that building that they don't even attend or whatever and say, oh gosh, we're going to be good. We're in God's house. And they never go in a church anyway.
No. I know.
Yeah.
But see, they got their mind on the external. That's
yeah.
what the, that's
they
what
the
quote,
building is.
That's what the quote church system has convinced the world that what we're doing is godly. And there's no place that ever told them to build that building or to tell people to commit all these atrocities that they call forms of worship like this and, you know, all these things that they tell them to do. It's all foolishness that man made up to make you act like a performing monkey.
Memorizing
yeah.
this.
Yep. See, that's not what it is. So it's confusion to the people. But they're going to tread it underfoot for 42 months. Who do you think is going to be tread underfoot?
First fruit.
That's the ones that's going to be. See, they're going to tread the holy city underfoot. Who is that?
Me.
There you go. See?
What's that mean? They're going to be tread.
By their lifestyle, they're going to be trashing us out.
Walking over you.
They're walking around on top of you. See? See what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be talking about you all the time. They'll be doing whatever, you know. And it don't make any difference because they have no authority to. It'll say so here in a minute. Okay, he says, verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses. That's the apostle and prophet inside of you. Okay? In Ephesians 3:5 is a good... I've remembered that for years.
What was it? Ephesians
3:5. Just went by it. Okay. I'm going to read a couple verses here. It says in verse 4, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of humanity, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by Spirit. Okay. They don't believe that God has a group of people that he reveals it to. He does. He says so.
Or an individual.
Well, it's individuals. It's not to just a group of people. It's to individuals all over the country. He's given the truth. There's people that we've met all over the country and out of the country that have knowledge of this truth. And it's good to be able to fellowship with some of those people and to talk openly with them, because you can't do that to most people. But there's no command there even to everybody bunch up in one place. And see, even the church world will say, and I say it, I love the other people, but they've still got the church in them because they want to have these conferences everywhere. They want to gather up everywhere, you know, and they bring in these big names and say they're great men and women of God, and all they're doing is blowing each other's horn. You call me to come to your church, and next 6 months I'll call you to come to mine. See, and then I'll blow your horn. And you can have all the money that time. Say, this time I'll get it, next time you get it.
Pat each other on the back.
Same thing. It's still the system of man. Let God do it.
I mean, where it's forsake not.
Assembly of the Hebrews.
Yeah. But that's not the church. That's us. For us together to work together in spirit.
The body of Christ has been disassembled. It's been dismembered and scattered throughout the earth. And he said, assemble it. And it is bringing us back together to where we know who we're talking to.
Well, the tabernacles is a... What is that? Assembling... What is it? Putting it back together is...
Right. Is
Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles.
Yeah.
And it's a
that's putting it all
feast
back
of,
together.
Ingathering.
Feast of Oneness, Feast of Ingathering, same one. Tabernacles, yep. All three of them, same thing.
That's just putting it all back together.
Yep. Well, like Paul said in the communion, you do this to remember me.
Yeah.
He's scattered. He wants to remember it all come back together. That's all.
Yeah. So again, they're looking external instead of internal.
As long as you look external, you'll not get it.
Mm-hmm. That's not measuring the outer court.
No. Let it go. When you look external, that's what you're doing. You're measuring the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. 3.5 years again. Mm-hmm. Clothed in what? Sackcloth. What is that?
Humility.
It's humility and grief. Mm-hmm. Grief goes along with it. You know, what grief does is bring the humility to you. The grief that you suffer. Jesus said, I was made perfect through the things I suffered. How are we going to get there?
We've had a big growth period.
Well, I mean, that's just the way it is, see? And the church world will not tell you that truth, that you must suffer with him if you're going to live, rule, and reign with him. That's what he says.
Well, did a love slave. They did the...
Punched their ear.
They did it willingly.
Yep.
Isn't that what we're doing? The first fruit's doing it willingly.
They're not fighting it. They're saying, whatever.
Even when you don't understand what's going on, just sit and wait upon God and ask him.
Just say, so, whatever, amen. Whatever you say, that's it.
Yeah,
say.
It's yes and amen. It's not that old J and A. Mm. It's the new.
And, you know, when they say yes or no, we don't even have an option in that. We don't have that option. We just, whatever Father says, that's fine with me. And he also said in John 10, my sheep hear what?
My voice.
My voice. You got to have a relationship to hear that voice.
Mm-hmm.
You must have that relationship so you hear his voice and you know it's his voice.
You won't listen to that other voice that's in you that's
no.
telling you that.
You'll hear it, you just won't respond to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said, these are the two olive trees.
There
you go. That's all right. That's okay. That's what it's for. Okay. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, the two witnesses, the olive tree, the two candlesticks, and then down in the fifth verse where it says, and if any man will hurt them, who are we talking about?
First fruit.
The same thing. First fruits, the candlesticks, the olive trees, or the two witnesses. Same thing. Just different expression of the same thing. But them, fire proceeds out of their mouth.
Ooh. So, first fruits.
Fire. What is fire?
Purification.
Purification. See, everybody sees, no, it's not about destroying anybody. It's about bringing them, if they want to do some things they're doing. See, it's necessary to have negative in our life. We'll never change without that negative pressure in us. It's true. So when that negative comes, it brings about a positive result. Didn't say we'd like the change being done, but the change result. Now that's the one we like.
The process.
The process is not easy.
What needs to be done is
it's a little tough. It's
tough.
And it says, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours, okay, that eats it up or consumes their enemies. What is their enemies?
Their
adversaries. Their hostilities. The only hostility I have is what's right here.
Mm-hmm.
See, my hostility is in my head, my thinking process from the natural. Anytime I have a problem, it's there. If I point out there to anybody or anything or any situation, I'm missing the point. Then I don't know what I'm talking about. Because it's all in here, every bit of it. And that's the thing people don't want to... They want to blame somebody.
So, would this be a fair, hostile, carnal thoughts within me?
Absolutely. It's not about people being your adversary. It's about you being your own adversary.
You got to come to peace within yourself. And
it realize...
Don't measure that outside stuff. It don't matter.
See, if I make a mistake, you think God's judging me in that?
No.
It's what the cross was for.
He knows we can't do it without him.
He says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
He knows where we're at.
We're not able to do it on our own.
And if any man will hurt them who?
First fruit,
the candlesticks, the olive trees, or the witnesses, same thing, right? First fruit. He must in this manner be killed. Do you really think he's talking about literally killing somebody?
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about they got to die the same way you die. Just like the same pattern that Jesus went through. If you don't reign with me, suffer with me, you'll not reign with me. You got to go the same way he went. He said, I am the way, the door, and the truth. No man enters to God except through me, right?
If it be possible, take this cup.
Yeah, but it's not, so you're going to get it anyway. So the best thing to do is pay me now instead of paying me later, which costs more. It's more painful.
So if they hurt you, then
they got the things that they do is the things that's going to come back and bite them in the butt.
They're gonna reap what they sow.
Absolutely, same thing. You're saying the same thing, just another way of pointing at it.
Yeah.
Okay. It said these same ones again have power to shut the heavens. That's the spirit realm. That it rain not. Okay. Wonder what that rain is.
Word of God.
There you go. They can shut up the spirit around so that the rain not in the days of their prophecy, the time when they're serving. Don't have to turn that word loose. God don't want it out there. It ain't going out there. He gave them authority to shut it down. That's pretty awesome.
So the first fruit just...
They're just like Jesus was.
They don't have to give them this stuff for faith. They're not taking it. They're just whatever.
Just when you see they're not receiving, you just shut her down and walk away. Leave them. That's all right. Let them go. And have power over the water. What is the water?
Word.
There you go. Let me see something here. In Corinthians, I want to look at 2 Corinthians, where did I write that? 3:6.
So, would it be fair to say the Word of God is coming through the first fruit?
Absolutely.
After you purify you, then you're kind of going to, it's that dirty, nasty flesh stuff is not impeding the flow of God right. through you as good as much. Right?
Until that conduit is cleaned up, the water can't flow freely through it.
Otherwise, it's polluted with the dirt, dust,
the corruption that's inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? 3:6?
Sorry.
Yeah.
What is it?
Corinthians 3:6.
2 Corinthians 3:6. Actually, the verse before it says, in verse 4, I'll start in verse 4. And such trust we possess through Christ to Godward, okay, to the God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, okay? Our sufficiency is of God, period. Our abilities, everything comes from God. And that's what he's saying here. He's given that to us. Jesus had the power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. What would be left out of that? See? And now, he left that, passes that to us. But how do we utilize that power? Right? He can't turn that power loose into the hands of a young child, can he?
No.
Even a young adult. Not yet. Until maturity comes, he can't turn that loose. It's there, but he's not going to unlock the door and let you have the full power until you come to that place where you can be a
you
perfect flow.
You got it, but then you're still.
Well, that's the immaturity. But that's the immaturity speaking. Oh, I've got it. You know, well, it takes a long time. I'm still working at it. It's a process, and I know that. And when it's time, I'll get there. Not concerned about it. I'll get done what he wants. And it says, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters, the word of God, to turn them to blood. What is blood?
Life or death.
Yeah, which one are we talking about here? Life. Talking about life. He can give them life or death. And to smite the earth with all wounds and calamities, as often as they will. Do you think God's really trying to give somebody, to give you or I the power to go out and make people sick?
No. You won't. If you're truly changed, so you don't want to do that.
But you know what will happen? The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. There's life and death in the power of that Word. See? So how they receive it is how it is.
Yeah.
It can be a wound to their ego, right?
Yeah.
It can be a calamity in their life because it's not the way they think
they
it should be.
It requires change.
That's right, and they don't want to do it. So it's going to be,
and it could be a real,
bad things.
Real headache or real pain in their rear end until they're going to give it up.
You change their ego.
Yeah.
Until the ego gives up, and the ego man don't give up easy, I'm telling you.
Discipline.
And when they, that's still the first fruit again, shall have finished their testimony. Now, the word testimony here is not a real good word. It's the word martyria. And the root of it is martyr. Until they have martyred themselves. Now, you think he's really talking about killing yourself? You think he's really talking about you physically dying? No, you're giving up the natural man, the carnal man. Exactly like Paul said, I must decrease and he must increase. He's talking about when I have finished giving up that natural man, there's no more fight from
giving
the ego
up all
man.
All our fleshly desires.
There it is. See, I got to give that all up. That's not talking about dying, you know. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, the abyss, shall make war against them. Okay? You remember when Jesus was walking in the earth? He had already come to maturity, more or less. He was walking and he was tempted by this guy that the church wants to call the devil,
yeah,
or Satan.
Sure, yeah.
And he accused him and he done everything he did. And how did he answer him every time?
It is written.
It is written.
That
the
fire,
word of God.
That fire you were talking about.
That
there.
Fire came out of their mouth and just burned up
consumed,
all the trash. Just consumed
those thoughts that was
some
coming to him.
Spiritual word there.
Absolutely.
Not the rhema, not the letter of the word, but he's giving him some understanding of truth
mm-hmm.
on this word, and it just shoots it down, puts fire out, whatever.
Yep. So, see, you're thinking now. See, you're putting in the thought process that I have, and that's what I want. I want you to be able to get a hold of things so I don't have to say everything, that you can just flow it into.
Yeah, it's got to be real and applicable
in each person's,
right now.
In each person's mind.
Mm-hmm.
But this beast shall come out of the bottomless pit, and the bottomless pit is our carnal mind,
yeah.
And shall make war against them, the first fruit, and shall overcome them and kill them, first fruit. Okay? And we'll pass right on over that for a second, and then it'll come back in. And their dead bodies, who?
First fruit,
shall lie in the street, okay? In the open square, in the middle of the city, is what it really says, the great city, which is Babylon, okay? Which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, I'm going to say something here, it might be controversial. I've been known to do that, but this thing that you're talking about, this great city, what is it? It's Babylon. But what is Babylon?
Religious confusion.
Yeah, but Babylon
system.
Is the church.
Or the world system.
Well, the world system is the church.
Anything antichrist.
Yeah, but that is the church, see. The church system is lined up to do everything that the man wants them to do. They're not concerned with what God wants to do. If they did, they'd stop all that foolishness. See, their traditions are more important. What's it say in Mark 7:13? You make the word of God of none effect or really worthless through your traditions and many such things you do. You make it none effect by doing your traditions versus doing what God said. So,
in other words, think for yourself, man.
Absolutely.
Can you do verse 8?
I'm still there.
Okay.
I'm still there. I haven't pulled out of it yet. Okay.
Because I was trying to organize this for me better.
Okay. But the square, the middle, it says lie in the street, in the square, that's the open square. That means they were there for what? Open display for humiliation, okay? And they think they have overcome them, okay? The system thinks they have overcome this.
They quiet them down.
They think they've quieted them down temporarily anyway. They think they have. And it says, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, tell me where our Lord was crucified.
In the mind.
In the heart of Adam. When he said, I'll do it my way. I'll sit on the sides of the north in Isaiah. I'll do it my way. Mm-hmm. Actually, he said it in Isaiah, but it was actually in Genesis where it actually took place. And Isaiah just wrote about it. But that was where he was crucified, in the heart of religion.
In the beginning.
Yep. So not in the very beginning, but in
the cosmos.
Go over this just a little bit again for me.
We're at the 8.
He's
just starting to do it.
Oh.
Said they're dead bodies, your lifeless bodies. And see, no matter how much life is in you, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, can it?
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? It's a lifeless body. This is a lifeless body. There's no life in the body. The life is in here, in the spirit. It has nothing to do with this body.
It's an illusion. You constantly keep creating it every time you think in the ego.
Absolutely. You feed the beast of this great city, the Babylonian church, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. It's all internal. And you won't find that very many places that can tell you that, because God hasn't given the ability to hear it. God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Until he does, they don't have the capacity to understand it. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see the dead bodies, the lifeless bodies of the apostles and prophets, the men and women of God. When God speaks of the apostles and prophets, the men of God, it's not speaking of a gender. It's speaking of the spirit of that person. And it doesn't make a difference whether you're male or female. That has no bearing on it. It's the spirit of the person. And the spirit is the male part, literally. Right? It's the man, Christ. But they were there 3.5 days and shall not suffer or allow, okay, their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now see, that's the church. They're walking around in dead, stinking bodies, and they will not allow their flesh to go down. They're pumping it up. This morning, right now, today, they're out there pumping up that dead man, trying to lift him up and not let him be put in a grave.
You mean like a revival?
Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of them silly things. And it says, this is just a form of religion. Right there is a perfect form of it. And says, through this whole time of processing, which is not literally 3.5 days, it's through our lifetimes. We're being processed all the way through. And when all the processing is over, they still won't let that body, they won't let that body go. They're going to hang on to it all the way to the end.
And they
want to
keep it in an immature state.
Absolutely. They won't suffer it to be put in the grave. It's a mixture of Judeo-Christians. Okay?
So, is it? Religion will not give up their fleshly thinking.
No, they won't.
For nothing.
For nothing.
I mean,
and they can, their dead bodies can be laid out there and disgraced and humiliated for all to see, and it doesn't make any difference. They got their way of doing it, and by God, that's the way we do it here, and that's it.
They've invested all that time.
Time and effort in it. Can't give it up. Got too much invested.
Like that one lady told you, I don't care what
the
God
Bible
says.
This is the way we do it here in our church.
and this is the way it is to her.
Well, but see, that's a perfect example. We hear them all the time, but they don't know they're even doing it.
Well, you're also kind of getting in the comfort of your own selfish comfort zone inside, and you won't follow what God.
I can't think of the word right now in the Greek, what it says, but it says it's a worn track. They just get in and just keep that same circle.
Thinking.
Yeah. It's just a rut. They get in and that track, and they just keep going in that worn track.
It shows you different times in that when they went around the walls of Jericho to try to tear that down, or when they went in the wilderness and they constantly kept going in the same circle constantly all the time.
Yeah,
took them a lot longer to get through that than it would have if, what is it, 40 years instead of 40 days.
So. Because
they were hard-headed.
Had an infallible guidance system, they wouldn't have
They wouldn't do. They wouldn't listen.
They said, "This is stupid.
This is the way. Walk me in it."
Okay. In verse 10, it goes on and says, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, the dead bodies, the first dead bodies of the first fruit." Now look here. It says, "Them that dwell upon the earth," but there's another thought process there. That word that dwell upon the earth is someone who resides permanently on the earth.
Yeah.
They ain't giving it up. Okay. They are not giving it up. They're going to stay right there and hold on to it to the end.
Oh, is this on that earth? Is that, let's talk about
the dust
and
sand. Absolutely. The first two realms.
Pastor and Pentecost thinking process.
Right.
They're not
religious
giving it
thought.
Up.
Yep.
I like the next one because they're rejoicing.
And shall make merry or be delighted and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented. Now, but this word has a root word out of it, touchstone. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See,
made him uncomfortable.
He made him uncomfortable because he was checking them out. All he had to do was walk in their presence, and they were tormented.
They revealed the true how much really the true nature of
they
God
didn't
is
have,
in them.
That they didn't have.
Yeah, and how it hurt because... Yeah.
It revealed something they didn't like.
Yeah.
So with this root word...
It exposed them. That's
right.
What I was looking for.
But he tormented them that dwelt on the earth permanently... See, the ones that ain't coming out, that's going to stay there. To them, it's going to be hurt. To the ones that's not permanent dwellers on the earth, guess what? It's going to be a change for them. They're going to recognize, my God, I got a fault here. I've got to deal with it. See, and the others will say, what are you doing hitting me for? Yeah. Different attitude.
This is just the way I am.
Yeah, don't bother me. Okay, verse 11. And after 3.5 days, after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God had entered into them, the dead bodies being disgraced on the earth, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. I'll bet.
Now,
they thought they had them defeated.
That them, that's the first fruit again.
That's them again, yep. And
he gets down and oops, hey, what?
And they heard a great voice from heaven, literally the spirit realm. And remember in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, saying to them, come up hither, and they ascend up to heaven in the spirit realm, okay? In a cloud. Remember in Acts 1:9 when Jesus ascended? What did he ascend? How did he ascend?
In a cloud,
say. See, he said, you got to do what I do. If I do it, you got to do it, see? So he says, they come up in a cloud. He's telling you, you're just like him.
So
you're just like the Christ.
That cloud, is that speaking of overcomers?
Sure. You're in a cloud of witnesses.
Overcoming sons.
You're in a group. There's a group of us. And their enemies beheld them. Okay? What's their enemies? Dust and sand. The first two covenants don't like the third covenant. Okay? Now, let me show you something farther back in Revelation.
You're kidding, right?
I know, but it's the non-understanding of being awakened to why
it's going on.
They're like, yes. That's the whole thing. They don't know why they don't like them. They've just been told the separation.
Yeah.
They don't like being exposed and, you know.
Okay. In Revelation 20 verse, it's kind of like
Revelation 20.
Yeah, starting at about 6. Actually, I'm going to start with 5. I can go back and read all that. I'm not going to do it. Verse 5, I'm going to start at.
Give me a second.
It's okay.
I'll get there. I just got a little fumble with fingers. 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says, but the rest of the dead, they were all dead physically, walking around. We have no life until Christ has come alive. Again, until the 1,000 years were finished, same as the period of time of ministering with us. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Remember, they're going to come back again, just like it was back here. And said, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Speaking of sand is the covenant of one and two both. Right there. See, they're the ones that's going to battle against the spiritual sons of God that were resurrected. It's all tied together. It's beautiful when you can see it. Okay.
Oh, awesome.
So it's not the people. Don't get caught up in people, because this is not about people. It's religious thoughts.
Yep.
And we have them too, and we're still dealing with them. You know, we ain't got rid of all of them yet. We have to realize that. Don't get on them people, because we were just as bad as they were at one time. We might know a little bit more now, but we still got them.
Just as asleep in a
they're in a
cognitive state,
a slumber. They don't know what's going on yet until it's time.
Gotcha.
And that same hour was there a great earthquake. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now this great earthquake, it's not talking about the literal earth shake. What are we made out of?
Earth.
But this earth is going to shake right between our ears.
Revelation.
When the revelation of God starts working, when the word of God starts working, it's going to create such a turmoil in your mind. I mean, it's worse than any earthquake anybody ever saw. Because it totally destroys the way you had felt comfortable in your life up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden it's upside down. It's not cool, but that's the way it is. And when you're aware that this is the way God is going to do things, then it's not a big surprise, and you understand. If you understand what's the processing going on in your life, how much easier is it to handle it?
A lot easier.
The whole thing. See, these people that have no understanding when it starts their life, my God, they're just... That's why people go out and commit suicide, church folk. Because, you know, they don't know what's going on. They think they've been deceived at something, and the whole world's going to just eat them up. It's just part of the processing. See, but they just don't understand. Where did I leave off at 13? And it says, and a tenth part, right? Tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant, the remaining ones, were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So these people saw some things going down. Great earthquake in their heads. And a tenth part. What would that tenth part represent?
The tithe.
Mm-hmm. And so the tithe. Who are we talking about?
First fruit.
There you go again, see? It's all tied together. So it's talking about the tithe of the city. And the city is who? The tithe. Isn't it? The bride of Christ. The heavenly Jerusalem. The holy city coming down from God out of the realm of spirit. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. I can show you a place I can't think of the scripture right at the moment. But it's in the Old Testament where it said there were 7,000 reserved for God. Right there it is again. 7,000. See, but the 7,000 here are slain, but we all have to be slain. We all have to die to Him, don't we? Die to ourselves.
What's the 7,000? What would that...
That's first fruit again. The 7,000 is 7,000 reserved to God. He's 7,000 reserved.
Just saying it another way.
Just saying it. He says it so many different ways. And that's where people get confused. They think this is all different stuff and it's all the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's maybe meant to confuse the carnal.
It is.
Thing. So
the carnal man.
You got to see it spiritually.
He needs to maybe get the other way around. He knows we're already confused. And different people have to be told different ways to reach.
There's some truth in that too.
At some point.
That I could say it one way and you hear it, and say it another way for you to hear it.
Right.
You know, another way for her to hear it, you know. And that's, God's got that all through Scripture. This said so many different ways. You'll pick up on one of them. Once you get the gist of what He's saying, though, you can start pick up the other things with it.
You start seeing a little bit better from the other viewpoints.
It's called an aha moment.
Yeah. But the remnant were affrighted, okay? And remaining were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. Quickly. Third woe comes quickly. Quickly. Quickly, huh?
Quickly.
Quickly. Or without delay. So once you come to that certain point, then something's going to come right behind it. And doesn't, isn't that the way it seems like it just comes in one right after another?
Comes in threes.
Yeah.
And that's where that saying came from.
Yep.
And that woe, that's pain, grief, and suffering.
Yes, it is.
So this stuff is not easy.
No.
And the,
but it's easy, everybody do it.
It's designed to not be easy, so to get rid of that fleshly thinking. That's the wicked leaving.
Yep. And the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, the completion of God's word, seven being perfection, sounded, and there were great voices in the spirit realm, not heaven, in the spirit realm, saying, the kingdom of this world are what? It says are become, but it literally has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the age of ages. And let me show you something here. In that 15th verse there where it says, are become.
Let's see, I'm trying to find that.
Mine says have.
Has become.
Okay. Yeah, are become, yeah.
Okay, King James says are become, but should be has become. Mm-hmm. And the next two words, the kingdom, shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's
italicized. It's italicized. That shouldn't be there. Okay. So it says, has become of our Lord. The kingdoms of this world have become, has become of his, our Lord's. They're his. He owns it all.
Perverted that thinking.
He's got the whole thing. He's got the whole thing. Now, verse 16. And the 24 elders, again, who is that? First fruit. Sat before God, or in the presence of God. Okay. On their seats, and that fell before their upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because you have taken to yourself thy great power, and the word has reigned. Hast isn't there, it should be, and reign. You've taken your great power to yourself, and you reign. Verse 18. And the nations were angry. That don't sound right. Because it's not. Okay? It should be they're provoked. Okay? Now, when I say provoked, I'm going to give you some scripture to show it. Deuteronomy 32:21.
Deuteronomy 32.
31.
31.
Romans 10:19 through 21.
Okay.
And Romans 11:11. I'm just going to get the two in the New Testament. That's good enough.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go back and read them.
Well, those nations, is that the imaginations of
minds? Sure. That's what I said was it was 10, what?
10:19.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tried to get all the numbers in my head at one time. 10:19 says this. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I found of them that sought me not. I was made a manifest or apparent to them that asked not of me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. See, they were provoked in verse 19. And then it's 11:11, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same page for me. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. God's doing provoking. Through the ones he's taken, he's provoking the rest of them to come on. They're jealous. They want what God's already given us.
Isn't that the way carnal man is?
Yep. They want what everybody else has got. But they're going to have to pay to get it.
But they don't want to go through.
They don't want to go through the suffering process to get there.
And it's that word like gnashing with the teeth and all that stuff.
Weeping and gnashing, yep. Mm-hmm. And he says, after it says they were provoked, and your wrath is come, and that is not wrath, it's the word orge, which means desire. It says, and the nations were angry, and their wrath has come. The word wrath is actually orge, and it means desire. So his desire has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Well, here again, everybody said, they're getting ready to go to hell now. Judged is positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And when he died at the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Who was he talking about?
All
of humanity. He died for all of humanity. And that thou should give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that not fear, but reverence your nature and authority, small and great, and should destroy, it says, them which destroy the earth, and that's not correct wording. What it should say is, destroy destruction from the earth. Now, what is destruction from the earth? We're the earth. What is the destruction in us?
The carnal mind.
There you go, see. It all falls in place when you start getting one thought in and it starts feeding the rest of it. So all he's going to do is take the carnality out. That's all.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's removing that carnal function.
Verse 19. And the temple of God was opened. This temple, naos, spiritual. It's not the word Hieron, which is a physical temple, but this is Naos, which is a spiritual temple of God, opened in the realm of the Spirit, and there was seen in his temple, the Christ, the body of Christ, that's the temple, the first fruit sons of God manifested as the Son, okay? The Christ. In his temple, the Ark. What does the Ark mean? Which it represent?
It's a place where God or the Christ dwells.
It represents the presence. There you go. It's the presence of God. Okay? Just like they had the Ark in the Old Testament, it represented the presence of God traveling
with
Israel.
Not there. If he's not
honey, honey, wait a minute. Okay. You're taking a crossing from the Old to the New, just an example. But the Ark is the presence of God. This is New Covenant. Of his testimony. What is his testimony? It's a covenant. It's the presence of his covenant, what it should say. Okay? The presence of his covenant. And there was lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquake and great hail. Now, all this is saying things that catches the eye of people, but they have no understanding. All through the Old Testament, lightning, thunder, and all this stuff, and the word of God, and they couldn't hear it. Great hail. Earthquake. All this stuff is all speaking of the Word of God. They hear noises and things, but they don't understand what he's saying. So he's saying, man, the temple of God opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, the Christ body, the ark, or the presence of his covenant. And everybody else were looking on, couldn't see anything. All they could see is all the natural stuff. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Anything else? Anything I add to it?
No.